Welcome to Morning Offering with Ron, Dave, and Pat. Live from the Annunciation Radio Studios, Morning Offering presents a Catholic way to start your day on the Ave Maria Radio Network.
Well, good morning, Ron Finn, Dave Asheris, Pat Odie Murray, all teaming up with our respective guardian angels today who saw us safely to our microphones this morning, and we're thankful for our guardian angels each and every day. Today, of course, the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And it's also a Thursday, and that means we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I'm gonna start kind of at the end of the hour, and she's got Joan Watson today. That's our chat with Pat Odie Murray coming up. Oh, what a beautiful world. We're traveling to Spain with corporate travel today. We've got a little game to play, and we're going to find out what's on the mind of Matthew Archbold. Plus, all that, plus Dave's Word of the Day is coming up in mere moments from right now. So glad you could join us today and bring your guardian angel with you. Let's get started. Matthew Handley's got the latest news for us.
Good morning, everyone. This is the news for Thursday, October 2nd. Funding measures from both sides of the aisle were shot down in the Senate as the government has entered a partial shutdown. Lawmakers held procedural votes yesterday on both bills, which both failed. Funding was cut off Wednesday night, just after midnight. The shutdown is likely to last until at least Friday, as senators have left town in observance of the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur. Sister Mary Haddad, president and CEO of the Catholic Health Association of the United States, said in a statement she urges, quote, lawmakers to swiftly work together to end the shutdown and preserve critical health programs. President Donald Trump is committing to the security of Qatar. The president has signed an executive order which says the U.S. will, quote, take all lawful and appropriate measures to defend Qatar. Trump's order marks a significant commitment to a non-NATO Arab ally, and it follows Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's apology to the Qatari Prime Minister for Israel's strike in Doha last month. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have also sought more explicit U.S. security guarantees. A federal appeals court has ruled that Colorado may continue excluding two Catholic preschools from its universal preschool program. The Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the state's decision, saying the program's non-discrimination rules on sexuality and gender identity align with the First Amendment. The Catholic schools argued they were being punished for their faith, and their attorneys vow to keep fighting. Governor Jared Polis praised the ruling, saying it ensures students are free from discrimination. The decision means Catholic preschool families will remain ineligible for taxpayer-funded preschool benefits. Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the rest of the Peanuts gang are sticking around on Apple TV+. Matt Mattinson has the details.
The streamer announced Wednesday that it extended the deal to be the exclusive streaming home of Peanuts content through 2030. That includes new material as well as classics like It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and A Charlie Brown Christmas, among others. Apple TV Plus notes that non-subscribers will also have a chance to see holiday specials for free on select dates. This comes as Thursday marks the 75th anniversary of the first Peanuts comic strip to be printed. I'm Matt Mattinson.
And primatologist Jane Goodall is dead at the age of 91. The Jane Goodall Institute announced her death on social media. She was in California as part of a speaking tour. Goodall started her research on chimpanzees in the wild in 1960. She said she had a profound spiritual experience at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 1977 and believed in God. The Institute said she died of natural causes. Requiescat in pace. That's the news this morning. I'm Matthew Handley.
Thank you very much, Matthew. I'm going to make a quick phone call because I know the government is still shut down, right? So I'm just going to call and see.
If you would like to make a call.
Oh, yeah, there's nobody answering the switchboard.
No shutdown.
If you need help.
Apparently they shut down the switchboard, yeah.
Yeah. I heard yesterday that like 80-some percent of the government is still open, though.
Yeah,
like
right.
85%, 86%, something like that. And I said to them, why do we call this a government shutdown?
Yeah, really. It should be no cars in that parking lot,
it
right?
Is so
yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, yeah, to me, a shutdown means we all get time off.
There we go, yeah. Big story out of, I don't know if you saw this, Pat, but the Michigan church shooter's family reacts to viral fundraising effort by Latter-day Saint members.
This is
so... Look, I mean, the man goes in, he kills four people, he sets their church on fire, And then one of the members sees that there's fundraising going on for the victims of the shooting and says, why aren't we doing something for the family of the shooter? And he starts an appeal for that, and it's raised $250,000 for the family members of the man who killed the members of the church.
Yeah, his I had read this before, this story, but I saw that his son was born with this rare genetic disorder, and they had raised money for that, before all of this happened. And to me, because one of the stories I always use in my class when I talk about forgiveness, and there are a lot that I can use, but the one that just set with me, because it was just so... it's just like this story was the Amish people,
the guy
that shot up that Amish school and killed like 6-7 little girls, and that night the Amish families went to his wife's home and brought her food and asked if there was anything they could do for her. Now I'm thinking, okay, we just lost six of our little ones here, right? And it's I thought, you know, to me, as this does too, it shows us what I've been kind of, and I hate to say this, harping on for like a couple of weeks now, is that forgiveness is not a feeling.
Right.
It is an act of will. It is an act of following the Lord's will, doing it when we don't want to do it. And I think that's why people have such a hard time understanding forgiveness, is because they think they have to feel it. Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, I'm still mad at them. Fine. That doesn't mean you can't forgive them, right? And I think that this movement by the LDS is just, again, shows us who we need to be. And this is just amazing. And so for somebody who says, you know, the guy who said they were anti, you know, they're the Antichrist, they don't worship Christ. Well, they're certainly acting like they worship Christ.
Well, and they're certainly acting as they should. And there's another group doing exactly what it should do as well. A small Catholic church in Heber City, Utah, is offering a mass for the repose of the soul of the leader of LDS, who just died at 101 years old, and inviting the community to come in for the mass. The leader of the LDS, his daughter is coming to the mass. She's asked that there be an explanation of how to pray the rosary, because the rosary is part of what they're going to do for the repose of the soul of this man. And it turns out that he met with Pope Francis, the first LDS leader to have ever met with Pope Francis. So there's encouraging signs.
There are. You don't have to give up your own faith to welcome somebody else.
Yeah, and so now for my word of the day.
And yay.
Today, on this memorial of the holy angels, the holy guardian angels, our word for today is angels, taken from our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." Their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Brother, sister, do you know that an angel has been assigned to you? From the very beginning of your life, from your conception until you are called home to eternal life, you have an angel who accompanies you. One, that's incredibly fantastic. An angel who is always with you, who is there to protect you, who is there to encourage you, who is there to nudge you in right direction. As if that isn't enough, the generosity of our God, it doesn't stop there. In fact, your angel, my angel, is here with me right now, always accompanying me, always also seeing the face of my heavenly Father and interceding on my behalf, getting instruction from my heavenly Father that my angel might know the best thing to do for me, always following perfectly the will of God for me in my life, always
trying to nudge me in that direction to do the thing that God has raised me up to do. Why? Because God loves me. Because he's concerned for me. We ask for this thing and that thing, thinking it's in our best interest, and God says, you know what? I'll outdo your every single request. There is nothing that you could ask me for that will rise above the gift that I've already given you, an angel to accompany you, who is also always beholding my face, always knowing my perfect will for you, always understanding perfectly how much I love you and how much I care for you and how much I desire that you are with me forever in heaven. That angel always there. If we would but call on that angel, brothers and sisters, call on that guardian angel, that gift that you have from God the Father himself, call upon that angel in your every need, in your sleeping and in your waking, when you rise up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, and everything in between. Call on that angel for assistance. That is why that angel is there. That is why that angel, that minister of God, doing the perfect will of God, is assigned to you individually. That angel has been assigned to you for your care, that you might know what is perfect, what our Lord God is calling you to do each and every minute of every single day. Never forget, you are not alone. Of course, you are never alone. You have the Holy Spirit, God, living within you. But you also have this angel accompanying you, that you might be directed in the way that you should go, and that you might be protected in your coming in and your going out. Always having that angel by your side, who is also right before, always seeing the face of our Father. Angels are a word for today.
You know, Pat, we get the main image we think of when we think of angels is this little cherub.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not cute, but that is not the way it is. We've got warriors accompanying us. Warriors accompanying us.
Oh, yeah. There's a great, and I use it in one of my classes, but the Catholicism series by Barron.
Yeah, Bishop Barron, yeah.
He does a great thing on that same thing, Dave, yeah. And he says that. They're not little cherubs, yeah. and they show these pictures of these mighty angels with these fiery eyes,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, whoa, you know. Yeah, I think we don't understand the power sometimes, and the power that they have in the world around us, right? That they're always at work doing God's work, just like we should.
Yeah, my angel's not sitting on the cloud eating cherries. He's got his sword out, baby.
Women from across Michigan are invited to come together to focus on their faith and experience the fellowship of sisterhood in Christ Jesus. It all takes place at the Michigan Catholic Women's Conference Saturday, October 11th. Throughout the day, women will be encouraged and inspired to ignite their spirits and grow their faith by hearing from Catholic speakers, engaging in praise and worship music, as well as celebrating Holy Mass with our bishops. Go to MichiganCWC.org today.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Looking for a good book to read? Then check out the Epiphany Book Club, where Vanessa Denhagarmo and Jeff Kassab bring you a new book to discuss every month. Read along with us, and then call in and join the discussion on the Epiphany Book Club. This month's book is Christ, Science, and Reason by Father Robert Spitzer, and the discussion will be on Friday, October 17th. Get your copy today in our online bookstore at avemariaradio.net.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Morning Offering with Ron, Dave, and Pat. Live from the Annunciation Radio Studios, Morning Offering presents a Catholic way to start your day on the Ave Maria Radio Network.
And we are back, so thankful that you are with us. Hey, there's an old proverb that says, though a man may die, yet he lives, because he leaves one behind him like himself. Now, I want to say this. Mr. Finn is not dead. Mr. Ron Finn had to go out to an appointment, but his son, Sean Finn, is with us, and he's much like his father. And he has the ability to press all these buttons, Pat. And
really?
He has a voice, too. He's actually the smartest guy I know. So good morning, Sean. Thanks for filling in for your father. Now that I've said that parable, I don't think it was a good one to use. Honestly, Mr. Finn is just fine, but he has a son much like himself, and that's the purpose. So, good morning, Sean.
Yeah, I'm merely an imitation, but I'm happy to be here.
No, there you go. I think that'd make a good song, I think, about being an imitation. Hey, it is time, Pat, and Mr. Sean, for the one, the only Matthew Archbold. We're going to delve into the mind of Matthew Archbold. Good morning, Matt. And there's no referee here. We don't have Ron Finn on the air, so let's be careful with this.
That's right.
Why don't we call Sean Ron 2.0 and put everyone at ease?
I like it. Yes, I'm going with that. Ron 2.0. There we go.
Yeah, it's like an advanced form of Ron.
Yeah, thanks for being a segment host and coming in and taking over the program like you own it. I mean, it's not a problem. It's not like we didn't have a meeting about this before the show today to see what we would say. But I'm glad you jumped in with your thoughts on it.
It is. It's always good.
Well, Creative Minority Report, my website, has been down because my IT department is my idiot brother. So
my idiot brother.
It happens to the best of them.
Yeah, so I've been like Hannibal Lecter, locked up in a cage for the last week. So this is my one opportunity to get everything out. So,
my!
Did you hear the government is shutting down? Are you scared? Are you frightened?
Well, we were just saying. I heard what, like 84% or 86% of the government is still open.
Yeah.
So how is
you know
that
what never
shut
shuts down?
What,
the Catholic Church?
Yeah. No.
Right. 2,000 years. 2,000 years and running, no shutdowns, not one.
Through all the divisions, through all the difficulties,
right,
we remained open, yeah.
Right. Huh? And we're talking a worldwide experience here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's not that we don't have our troubles. This is like the worst week to be off, because you have the whole Catholic world going up in arms against itself, because Senator Dick Durbin was going to get an award and all that. And, I mean, this was going bananas. I mean, everyone was in on this. And, you know, I was always, you know, and it came down to the Archdiocese of Chicago said, oh, we're just honoring him for his work with immigration, and we're ignoring what he did. And it just... It kind of tells you all you need to know about politicians is that they couldn't find one politician to honor that they could honor their whole record.
Yeah, right.
You know,
they
had to piece it and say, okay, well, we'll take this part of the record. You know, well, other than the ending of the play, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think? You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Well, I have to say this, Matt. Look, I try to honor everybody made in the image and likeness of God to have one good thing to say about them. When someone says, can't you think of one good thing about the person? And I'll be honest, before Durbin stepped aside, I couldn't think of one good thing. But now that he stepped aside, I can think of one good thing.
That's right.
So now you want to give him an award for not accepting the award.
For not accepting the award. I have to say, I thought it was an honorable move, and saved what could have been in all seriousness, saved what could have been just a really difficult situation.
Yeah.
So kudos to him for doing that.
And it could have been a very awkward and weird situation, because you have a moment right now when a lot of people are really looking at the Catholic Church anew and looking, you know, and I had on The Wizard of Oz the other day. Yeah. Remember, Dorothy's in this whole new world. She's all confused. And then the Scarecrow says he has the answer to where to go, but he points in every direction.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of felt like that's a little bit of, if you're just reading the news, you know, you have 10 bishops over here saying, no, he shouldn't receive the award. You have these, this cardinal and saying he should receive the award. And it's just, it seems like right now is the time for a very certain message from the church. And it's like we're sounding an uncertain trumpet right now. And right now we really need to make the gospel our focus and not get caught up with these politicians, not get caught up with the day-to-day, and not try to appease, but get back to the heart of what it is that we need to be talking about, which is the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's that whole thing, right, Matt, of you know, we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. I think even church leadership struggles with that. How do we do that, right? What advice,
of course,
you know, do we, what advice can you give us in how do we live in the world and not be of the world?
Yeah, I know, like, one thing going on right now, you look at it, Netflix, have you heard about this? It's taking a hit. Their stock plummeted because...
Oh, the kids show?
A number of people have brought up the fact that in their cartoons and kid programming, there's a lot of pro-trans, pro-pronouns, and all that stuff in their kid programming. And people are finally saying, hey, you know what? I can turn this off. You know, and I mean, it used to be if someone talked to your kid about that stuff, they'd get a punch in the nose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Now we turn it on in our living room and put it into our kids' phones without thinking. And that's the kind of thing, you know, we're in the world, but we shouldn't be of it, and we shouldn't be taking part in all this stuff. We have to be very, very aware of what goes into our kids' minds. You know, one of the things when I first started writing in the Catholic world is we were always certain that in the end, demographics would win, you know, because Catholics tend to have a lot of babies,
right,
you know, and those non-believers don't. But that kind of advantage goes away if we keep giving our kids over to Netflix programming to, you know, these college professors that have, you know, crazy things to say, and they teach them, you know, that we have to stop feeding our kids to the world and start protecting them again.
You know,
yeah.
I was looking at our OCI program at the parish that I'm at. Biggest class in anyone's memory. I think it's happening from parish to parish. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world have we done right over these last few years that has driven this number of people, not only in our country but around the world, to the Catholic Church? The answer is nothing. We just got to stay out of our way. We have to stay out of our own way. That's the only thing.
I remember I heard a woman say this past week that she feels empowered now, where she was always afraid to speak what she knew that, you know, we were taught. But she said once Charlie Kirk was killed, she realized you can't sit around anymore. You know, you got to speak the truth. And I thought, well, you know, out of bad and evil, God can bring good, and this may be part of it.
That is what he does. I mean, the first few dozen popes, all, you know, each of them died a martyr.
Oh yeah,
you know, at some point when they were handing, you know, the hat over, didn't someone say, you know, hold on.
Yeah, right. That's a death sentence.
I'm perfectly content being a bishop. What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. Let me just go to the cave. I'm going to the cave to pray. We'll be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's such a counterintuitive thing that the darker the world gets, the light of the church shines ever brighter, and it inspires people to do things they wouldn't do. You know, you look at the end of, you know, the Acts of the Apostles. You know, in any other way, and, you know, if you made a movie of that, that would be the worst ending in the world.
Yeah,
and then
right.
Everyone went off and got killed.
Yeah,
it's like, no, this is good news.
That's right.
Yeah. The resurrection is around the corner,
Nicely done, Matt. Lord bless you. That's a little dive inside the mind of one Matthew Archibald. We'll be right back.
resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Walk through the doors of Cantora Italian Market in Plymouth and you are instantly transported to Italy. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomio, and you can choose from a curated assortment of unique food and wines that you won't find at your local supermarket. Fresh handmade pasta, gourmet wine and cheese made from scratch bread and desserts, and high-quality meats and poultry. Don't forget to stop for lunch or dinner at the attached award-winning restaurant. For directions, visit CantoroMarket.com. That's CantoroMarket.com.
Welcome to Morning Offering with Ron, Dave, and Pat. Live from the Annunciation Radio Studios, Morning Offering presents a Catholic way to start your day on the Ave Maria Radio Network.
And we are back, so thankful that you are with us on this Thursday, Morning Offering with Pat, Ron, and Dave. Ron is not available to be with us today at a very important appointment, so he has, and we knew about it ahead of time, and we made arrangements for that thing to happen, so we have sitting in the chair, running the buttons, pushing the buttons, and taking care of all things technical, his son, Sean Finn, producer of Morning Offering with Ron and Dave, and the smartest guy I know. So good morning, Sean. Thanks for filling in this morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Also a good radio voice.
Well, thank you. Come from good stock, I guess.
A very smart fellow. Now, I thought it's time for our game, and this is what we call on Thursday Ron's game of choice. And, Pat, you and I have been pressuring Ron for some weeks now to do the game Racehorse or Rock Band. And I think given the fact that that Ron is out of the studio now, we might have the power of persuasion over Sean. What say you, Sean?
Well, I didn't want to take it from Ron, so we're not going to do that. We got something else.
We have no power of persuasion, apparently, Pat.
No,
so
no,
we're doing something else.
But I must admit, it really, in my whole scheme of things, it makes no difference. I'm going to be bad no matter what you choose.
All right. Well, thanks.
When you're
giving me support like that to get the thing done, then I'm definitely not getting the thing done. So all right, here
sorry.
We go. We're playing whatever game Sean chooses for this morning.
I reached for the closest game I could find. We're going to do which came first.
Which came first? I like that one, actually.
So we're going to start off on the higher end of things. Which came first, Abercrombie & Fitch or L.L. Bean?
Abercrombie & Fitch.
I'm going to say L.L. Bean.
Yeah. I'm going with you. I think it's L.L. Bean because L.L. Bean is more like for hiking and outdoorsy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Abercrombie & Fitch a little less rugged. So, yeah, I'm going with Pat. We're both going L.L. Bean.
You are both incorrect, unfortunately.
Well, what I was thinking. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, you want to
hold on just a second.
Because
I was thinking, you don't come across a name like Abercrombie very often. That must go back to the early 1800s. I'd like to switch my answer to okay. So when are both of those companies founded?
So 1892 on Abercrombie and Fitch and L.L. Bean 1912.
My goodness. They're just young whippersnappers, L.L. Bean. Why are they walking around like they know everything if they're that young?
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's a great store, though. I love L.L.
Yeah,
Bean.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not an Abercrombie and Fitch,
but
I like L.L. Bean.
So we're going to go down a little bit. So if you like those stores, you might like these stores. Which came first, Walmart or Lowe's?
Oh. Boy, I'm lost on these, Dave.
Well, we know that Walmart, it's his children, the founders, Sam Walton, founded Walmart, and he passed, but not that long ago.
Yeah.
So, and now his children run it.
What do you know about Lowe's? I don't know anything about
Mr. Lowe, his granddaughter lived down the road from, I have no idea. I know nothing about Lowe's. But since I know about Sam Walton, and I know that he is the founder, I know that Walmart doesn't go back that far. I would bet that Walmart was founded in 1956, maybe 1960. I think Lowe's was founded in the late 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going Lowe's?
I'm going Lowe's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm totally lost, so I'll just follow along. I'll be a sheep. Ba-ba. I'm with you.
Your intuition pays off. It is Lowe's.
All right.
That was 1946 for Lowe's.
Are you serious?
Exactly. You had it like almost right on the head.
No, yeah. I said 1946.
Yeah, you did. And,
wait a minute. Do I get bonus? What? I hit that one, too?
Well,
I said the 60s.
There you go.
You said the 60s, yeah.
My goodness. How in the world? Well, now, that one I had a better chance at because I know how old Walton,
kinda
Sam Walton.
Reconstructed a little
but
bit.
But, man,
yeah.
How in the world did I hit Lowe's on the nose?
You know, Guardian Angel. That's the only thing
there
I can think
of.
There
it is. Must
today.
Be the Guardian Angel. I asked my Guardian Angel to help me with wisdom, and he gives me things like when Lowe's was founded. I'm talking lottery tickets here. that would be far more helpful. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. So, just kidding.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now, some of the stuff that you could get at a Walmart, particularly mashed potato flakes or Kraft Singles. Which one of those came first, mashed potato flakes or Kraft Singles?
Do you like the mashed potato flakes, Pat? Is that...
No, I like real stuff.
Yeah, right. You're coming. You're a farm girl. I mean, you grew up on
a
farm.
I like potatoes. Yeah, yeah. Or Kraft Singles. Oh, my. Sean, these are hard.
I know. I wanted racehorses or rock band.
Maybe next week. Right?
This is one of my worst games is which came first. All of them are bad, but this one has always moved ahead to the first place. I will say, I'm going to say the flakes.
Yeah, me as well. Mashed potato flakes, 1968. Kraft Singles, 1974.
Individually sliced Kraft Singles made their orange debut in Lunches Everywhere 1949. And it wasn't until 1960 that we saw potato flakes.
Now I have to confess when I heard Kraft Singles, and I'm going to blame this one on you. When I heard Kraft Singles, I thought that meant the macaroni and cheese in the single packages.
Oh.
No. Did he say macaroni and cheese?
No, he didn't.
Nice try.
But no, I literally thought of that, not the Kraft Singles cheese, which is obviously the more, one that makes more sense.
I just thought you could cut, you know, you can slice cheese.
Yeah, when did we stop cutting our
own cheese? Yeah. But other people might not be able to grow potatoes, but my logic was...
Yeah, and you got to figure which one travels better and stores more. I think the potatoes would, right? The flake potatoes?
I do, too.
Yeah. So, last but not least, also food-related, also store-related, which came first, TV dinner or instant coffee?
Ooh, TV dinner, which is definitely the 50s, or instant coffee.
I'm trying to remember.
TV dinners, 1956.
I'm going to say...
instant coffee. No.
We had a TV, I think, before we had instant coffee.
Yeah.
Mom never bought TV dinners. But I would tend to think... I'm going to go TV dinners were first. I don't know.
TV dinners in the 50s, late-ish, and instant coffee, 60s.
60s.
Yeah.
Well, instant coffee was 1881, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
That's what my
what
sources
are doing?
Tell
Fixing
me.
Fixing instant coffee out on the trail?
That's right.
I know.
1953 on the TV dinner.
So I was right on the TV dinners. I'm 70s, 80 years off on the instant coffee.
Well, did they just consider putting grounds over a campfire instant?
Probably.
I don't like it. Racehorse or rock band.
Gather with local business professionals for a morning of inspiration at the Archdiocese of Detroit's 32nd Annual Mass for Commerce. Mass will begin at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, October 22nd at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, followed by a time of networking over a hot breakfast. A free will offering will be accepted at the event, or you can donate online when you register by clicking the events tab at aod.org. That's aod.org.
If you're on Medicare, start saving with the $0 premium Trinity Health Plan of Michigan HMO. This doctor-designed Medicare Advantage plan offers $1,785 cash back per year in your Social Security check on select plans. Visit TrinityHealth65.com. Get more from this local plan that's on a mission to make Medicare better. You'll have easy access to our large network of providers, plus no referrals for in-network doctors and specialists. Enroll in this budget-friendly plan that can make healthcare easier for you. Visit TrinityHealth65.com for details. Trinity Health Plan of Michigan, HMO, is a Medicare Advantage organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Trinity Health Plan of Michigan depends on contract renewal. Benefits vary by county. Not all plans have cash back, $1,785.60 per calendar year, which is $148.80 per month. Copays and co-insurance vary by plan. To file a grievance, call 1-800-MEDICARE to file a complaint with Medicare. Other pharmacies, physicians, or providers are available in the plan's network.
Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Welcome to Morning Offering with Ron, Dave, and Pat. Live from the Annunciation Radio Studios, Morning Offering presents a Catholic way to start your day on the Ave Maria Radio Network.
And we are back. So glad that you are with us on this memorial, this wonderful celebration of our guardian angels today. Remember, they are with you. They are there to assist you. Call on them for help whenever you are in need of assistance. St. John Bosco said, "When tempted, invoke your angel. He is more eager to help you than you are to be helped. Ignore the devil and do not be afraid of him. He trembles and flees at the sight of your guardian angel." Man, and again, we're not talking cherubs, but we are talking warriors here. Very thankful to have our guardian angels. Hey, thankful as well to have our wonderful partners, Corporate Travel, because it is time now for our segment, Oh, What a Beautiful World. And this morning, we're going to introduce a couple of priests who just got back from a pilgrimage, actually are on pilgrimage right now, coming to the end of a pilgrimage. Two priests of the Archdiocese of Detroit calling in from Barcelona, Spain, as they conclude a 10-day pilgrimage through France and northern Spain, Father Grayson Heenan and Father Jake Van Esch. And I want to say this very quickly to both Father Grayson and to Father Jake. I know that the one thing that I pronounced correctly with both of your names was Father. The rest of it, I'm not sure, but I hope I'm close. Good morning to both of you.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you help folks hear me okay?
We can hear you fabulously well, all the way from Barcelona. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
For joining
Amen.
Us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. Yeah.
We've been told this is the first time of you leading a pilgrimage together and partnering with Corporate Travel. And so you've traveled a lot of ground, right? Paris, Lisieux, Lourdes, San Sebastian, I don't know if I'm saying these right, Lola, Zaragoza, Montserrat, and now Barcelona. Wow. So tell us about what stood out in all of these places to you.
Oh my gosh, well it's hard to say really. Yep, this is Father Grayson Heenan talking, and we're out at a little cafe in Barcelona, just finishing up lunch. And you got our names perfectly well, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Good job.
Wow.
Woo, good.
You know, it's really quite hard to say what stands out, but there's so many highlights on our trip. But I guess one for me personally, I went to a Jesuit high school and a Jesuit college, and we visited Loyola, which is the birthplace and of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And, yeah, we did a mass basically in his family home, where he was recovering from an injury from a battle, and this very place he experienced the conversion. And, you know, basically from that very room, you know, as he would say, go set the world aflame. He had his conversion there, and after that, you know, slowly but surely he founded the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and the rest is history. So we did a mass there. That was very special for me. And probably another one would be the Basilica of the Sagrada Familia here in Barcelona. Mm. Absolutely stunning church. Really unequaled as far as, you know, being in a church and having the beauty of a church just, you know, absolutely wash over you. It was very, very special. We saw that yesterday.
And tell us about your experience at Lourdes as well, Father. I know, and going, I've only been one time, but I went during the off season, yeah. And I went into the grotto. And as I went in, I just felt this yep. very special presence. And because there wasn't a big group there, I walked out and I thought, well, now I don't feel it. And I just walked in. I was like a child. I walked through that grotto like 10 times to see if that same mm-hmm. presence would come upon me. And it did. That's just a very special place there, particularly yeah. where Our Lady appeared.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm going to pass the phone to Father Jake Van Ash to let him talk about his experience at Lourdes and the grotto.
Great.
So you can hear from him as well.
Thank you.
But Jake, Father Jake, what would you say about your experience at Lourdes and the grotto?
Howdy.
Good morning, Father.
This is Father Jake Van Ash.
It's good to have you with us this morning, Father.
Hi there. Yeah, thank you. Yes, we're here in Barcelona, and I guess Father Grayson mentioned to speak a little bit about our experience here in Lourdes.
Yeah, in Lourdes in particular.
Yeah, Lourdes was quite amazing. So that began the main portion of our pilgrimage. While we had a pre-trip in northern France through Rouen, Saint Joan of Arc, and Paris and Lisieux, we went to Normandy. But then the main trip started in Lourdes, and which brought, of course, the most people together. And being able to pray there where Our Lady appeared was just absolutely amazing.
Mm.
There was a moment there, we had an early morning mass on Sunday morning, and it was a little early, let's just say. It was a 6 a.m. morning mass, and yeah, so people got in, they came in, they flew in the next day. Like, no, we're going to start off with a 6 a.m. It's a pilgrimage. That's going to be part of it. It's going to be maybe more of a challenge, but everybody arrived. Nobody took the option of going to a later mass, and it was unanimous how impactful that mass was to be able to have mass there, right there at the grotto where Our Lady appeared, and just being able to pray there, to be able to bless ourselves with the water of Lourdes, how many people, the pilgrimage, they had a procession with Our Lady every night at 9 p.m. So there was a rosary and procession that our pilgrims were able to experience and participate in. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And yeah.
The beauty of pilgrimage, Father, is obviously you get to see these wonderful shrines. You get to go to places like Lourdes where Our Lady appeared. You've been to many other places, and those are fantastic things to do while you're on pilgrimage. But the greatest thing you get to do when we travel is encounter other people. And we're hearing about this revival that's going on around the world with people of faith. In fact, they're saying in France that we saw churches turned into museums. Now we're seeing museums turned into churches. Are you sensing that kind of excitement about the faith starting to rise up among the local people as you've been able to encounter them?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting comment and this interesting perspective, because we were, I think it was in Rouen, where Saint Joan of Arc was martyred. Father Grayson and I, one night, we just went for a little walk to check out to see if there was a late night, like just a little place to get a bite to eat. And then we saw this beautiful church, because, you know, it's not just like any other church here in Europe. Every church seems like it's just a beautiful, beautifully made, probably took, you know, years and years and years to build. And we went into this church, and we were both quite edified to see it was packed with like young adults. And so the priest was there. They just finished celebrating a mass. And I can't tell you at all what they said. I don't speak French. They were just going on and on and on about something, probably, hopefully about the Lord. And then, but they had like little stations set up around the church. So they were talking about different events going on, different things going on. But it was really neat to see that's a potential to see that the faith is coming alive. Yes, you can still see where you do have to pay to go into churches in some areas, but that's really to help support some of these old buildings.
Right.
To maintain
Gotta love it. Being joined today by Father Grayson and Father Jake. Thank you so much for talking to us about your recent pilgrimage with corporate travel. So thankful for everything associated with corporate travel. Always done the right way. Thank you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll be right back with more Morning Offering with Pat and Dave.
Guest House invites you to the 67th Annual Detroit Bishop's Dinner, Thursday, October 9th. The evening begins with Mass at 4 p.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church, followed by a gourmet dinner and program at the Palazzo Grand in Shelby Township. Enjoy an inspiring keynote address from Joseph McGivney, along with an unforgettable night of faith, fellowship, and hope. For more information and to reserve your spot, visit guesthouse.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen Kelly Mast. Thousands of families each year go on to regret not having a will once their loved one passes. At MyCatholicWill.com, a legal will is as simple as 15 minutes filling out information about your family. Thanks to our partnership with MyCatholicWill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free, no hidden costs whatsoever. Visit MyCatholicWill.com.
Welcome to Morning Offering with Ron, Dave, and Pat. Live from the Annunciation Radio Studios, Morning Offering presents a Catholic way to start your day on the Ave Maria Radio Network.
I love that corporate travel takes us around the world. Love that segment. Oh, what a beautiful world. And by the way, you can find out about all things pilgrimage related by corporate travel, pilgrimagesbycts.com, pilgrimagesbycts.com. And now, Pat, it is time for a chat. It's Thursday. Here's Joni. I thought I'd do it a little bit differently.
That was very nice.
I thought maybe just a little less dramatic. But we love it when it's time for Joan Watson.
Yes, and I'm so excited. Joan Watson is our Thursday chat, and every Thursday, and she is the associate editor of the Integrated Catholic Life, which you can find obviously on the internet. And she's the associate editor, as I said, and she writes in between the Sundays, a regular article there, and she's just a wonderful lady that I am just so happy that our paths crossed numerous years ago. Joni, how you doing?
Here's
today?
Joni. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Here's Joni. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't.
You could. The energy level's a little low.
Here's Joni.
Okay. A little low, Joni. Sorry. How you doing
today?
Good
morning. It's great to be with you all.
Anything new in your life, Joni, that we should know about since everybody listens to you on Thursdays?
Well, I have another book coming out later this month, so on making a pilgrimage, which is a great segue from the last segment. We'll have to talk about that, but making a pilgrimage, a Catholic companion, out from Emmaus Road later this month. So that was a great segue,
wonderful.
Pat. Thanks.
Do you, like, Joni, are you going to send me a copy so I can get a jump on it?
Of course I'm going to send you a copy. I'm making a note right now.
All right, make a note, because as I looked at what we're talking about today, we're on the last chapter of your book. So we are on the last chapter of the book that Joni wrote on opening the Holy Door, Hope-Filled Scripture Reflections from St. Peter's Basilica. So, Joni, tell us a little bit about this door panel that we're going to be talking about today and what's kind of going on here.
Yeah, so this is the second-to-last panel. The very last panel I treat in my conclusion, so maybe we can touch on that next week.
Oh,
but
yeah. Okay.
The very last
chapter
is on the second-to-last panel, and it's the conversion of St. Paul. And most of the panels on the Holy Door are featured in the New Testament, in the Gospels. But this one's a New Testament story, not in the Gospels. It's in Acts of the Apostles. We actually hear the story several times in Acts of the Apostles because Paul likes to tell the story. But it's a unique story, depiction of the conversion of St. Paul, because we actually see Jesus in the image. And sometimes we just see Paul falling from a horse or Paul surrounded by light. But here we specifically see Jesus, which I think is important because Paul mentions that he's had an encounter with the risen Christ in his conversion. And so we see that pretty clearly here, that Christ is appearing to Paul, saying those famous words that I'm Jesus who you persecute, attributing himself, also to the body of Christ, and that Paul obviously thinks, I'm not persecuting you, but you know, he is, because
he is. We,
the church is the body of Christ, which plays so such an important role in Paul's theology later.
Yeah. So tell us what else is in this panel, because there's a few other things that kind of raise questions for me.
Yeah. So there's the horse, which I think sometimes is a controversy. Was Paul on a horse? Was he not?
Yeah.
My family likes to fight about that. But we also have Christ. We like to fight about strange things, I guess. You also see a lot of foliage. So Paul seems to be in a garden, which I think is actually really beautiful, because it connects us to that first panel on the door, with the Garden of Eden. And then you can't really see it that well in the book, to be honest. You can see it better on the actual door. There's a little building tucked back there in the garden. So there's a couple different things I think going on here.
Okay. I like that idea of the connection to the garden, because I thought, boy, you know, when you think of just a dusty road, you don't think of seeing all of that stuff. So there has to be another reason it's there, you know. And you kind of made mention of, like, what is this city in the distance? You know, is it Damascus? What really is it? And you mentioned the idea that, is it where Paul will be sent to witness? So I think that raises some good questions, too. The other thing, Joni, that I found interesting, because as often as you hear the story of St. Paul's conversion, and you're the scripture person, so I in my head, I guess I just never realized it's three times in scripture, his story.
Yeah.
Which one of those three accounts do you think gives us a great insight into his conversion, a greater insight?
I actually think all three play together so well, because the first one is you know, Luke telling the story. Luke obviously heard it from Paul. So the first is just Luke kind of narrating it, but the next two are Paul talking about it himself. And I think he tells the story a little differently depending on who he's talking to, right? So who is he talking to his, you know, fellow Jews, or is he talking to his captors? So he's presenting this story a little differently, but I think it's actually, like, so often when we tell a story, we emphasize different things at different times. And so I think it actually helps to read all three, to really get the whole, you know, Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26 to get the whole story.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you say, which I want to ask again, is this kind of the first time we get somebody who says it this clearly, is that when Paul tells his story, he emphasizes to the crowd that his conversion to Christ is not a rejection of his Jewish faith, but a fulfillment of it. And so we always kind of talk about how the New Testament fulfills the Old. Is this one of the clearer places that we hear this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Paul is one of the very first apostles, of a sense, right? He calls himself a lesser apostle, but he's not one of the 12. But as one of the preachers, we get in Acts of the Apostles, First Peter, and then Paul's very explicit preaching of the gospel. And so we can look at Peter's message. I mean, Peter is really the first one that takes the gospel out. He's the first one that takes it to a Gentile. We see with his Cornelius baptism. And so I think Peter's really the first one. He says on Pentecost, right, what you read in Joel has now been fulfilled in your hearing. I just think that fulfillment idea is so important when we look at what is happening in the New Testament, that it's not actually something brand new, but it is that fulfillment. So you'll see it first with Peter, but then, of course, Paul will bring it as he goes first to the Jews, and then he eventually has his primary ministry to the Gentiles. And so to the Gentiles, he has to preach a little differently, and I think that's an important lesson for us, too. He still has to preach the gospel, but he has to find what his audience will connect to as well.
So, Joni, you kind of start this chapter out by saying, as a people of hope, what is our responsibility? So how does the story of Paul help enlighten our responsibility?
Yeah, I think we see over and over again in Paul's account of his conversion, of the account in Acts, that Paul is called to be a witness. And I think that's an important word to use, because Paul technically didn't witness the ministry of Christ. We don't see him present at the multiplication of the loaves, for example. But he's called to witness to the resurrection, because he does have this encounter with Christ and then is sent out as witness. I think most of us would have picked somebody different to witness than Paul. Paul has a shady past, to most of his audiences. You know, and so it's interesting. I think so often we think we have to be perfect before we go witness to the gospel. We think we have to have no mistakes in our past. And we think that preachers of the gospel should be blameless in their past as well. So I think this is all also a call for us to have mercy on ourselves and mercy on others, that if they have repented, we need to forgive them as well. Obviously, people forgave Paul for what he did, that they listened to him. But it's just such a reminder to us of that call to witness and to witness to what God has done in our own lives. He's worked miracles in our lives, to recognize those miracles, to recognize those gifts, and then to go out as witness. Even though we have not witnessed the public ministry the way the apostles did, we have witnessed the power of the resurrection, the power of the risen Christ. And this panel, I think, is that call to witness to the hope that Christ has given us. He's given us hope. We have to have eyes to see it.
Right.
He's given us hope, and now we have to share that hope.
Oh, Joni, thank you so much. And we will finish up with the conclusion of the book next week. Thanks, Joni. Have a good weekend ahead.
Thanks so much, Pat. You too.
There's
bye-bye.
Joni.
Oh,
now, see, I added
yeah.
that. There you go.
Yeah,
what a wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that wonderful conversation. Hey,
yeah.
join us again tomorrow morning for Morning Offering with Pat, Ron, and Dave. Tomorrow we will welcome in Monsignor Billion with Meals with Monsignor, and we'll pick a pop check. We'll also have a Fact or Fiction Friday, and you will hear Pat Odie Murray say, good morning.
And yes, and Katie Faust, The End of Natural Parenthood. A good discussion tomorrow.
Love you. Thank you for being here. We look forward to being with you tomorrow.